The first reading is from the Hebrew Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman was general of the army under the king of Aram. He was important to his master, who held him in the highest esteem, because it was by him that God had given victory to Aram, a truly great man, but afflicted with leprosy, a grievous skin disease. It so happened that the Arameans, on one of their raiding expeditions against Israel, captured a young woman who became a servant to Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed of his disease." Naaman went straight to his master and reported what the girl from Israel had said. "Well then, go," said the king of Aram, "and I'll send the letter of introduction to the king of Israel." So he went off, taking with him about 250 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "When you get this letter, you'll know that I've personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset, ripping his robe to pieces. He said, "Am I a god with the power to bring life or death, that I get orders to heal this man from his disease? What's going on here? That king's trying to pick a fight, that's what." Elijah, the man of God, heard what had happened. He sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset, ripping your robe like this? Send him to me so he'll learn that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman, with his horses and chariots, arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with the message, "Go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be as good as new." Naaman lost his temper. He spun around saying, "I thought he'd personally come out and meet me, call me on the name of God, wave his hand over the disease spot and get rid of the disease." The Damascus rivers, Abana and Pharpar, are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean. He stomped off, mad as a hornet. But his servants caught up with him and said, "Master, if the prophet asked you to do something hard and heroic, wouldn't you have done so? So why not this simple wash and be clean?" So he did it. He went down and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, following the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. There was a leper who came to Jesus and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can heal my body." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately, the man's leprosy was cured. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love the story of Naaman for a couple of reasons, not least of which is that he's told to just go take a bath to heal his leprosy. But one of the main reasons is that although Naaman is the main character, this big shot Aramean general, which would be Syria today, he is not the one who really makes this story go. It's the little people in the story, so to speak, on whom everything turns. So there's the servant girl from Israel, who is a slave and also a prisoner of war, who tells her mistress about this prophet Elisha that can heal Naaman. And then Naaman's servants, who dare, perhaps risking their livelihoods, to push back against their master's tantrum when he says, "Ah, geez, the guy didn't even come out to greet me. He didn't do any special ritual. I could have just stayed home and bathed in my own rivers for this." His servants push back and tell him to just do the simple thing that the prophet has commanded him. Their pivotal actions and the way that the prophet Elisha refuses to unroll the red carpet for this great general remind us that God is no respecter of persons, no slave to status. A great thing happens in this story, but not because of the greatness of the man to whom it happens. The other reason I love this story is because I think we have all been Naaman. Not, of course, a military general of great power and wealth, but someone who is getting tripped up by their own healing. I've preached before, 3 or 4 years ago now, about how Naaman's ego got in his way, his expectations that Elisha would kowtow to him and perform some magnificent ritual befitting his stature, how those expectations prevent him from doing the very simple act the prophet has prescribed. But on reading the scripture again this time, which is something great about the lectionary, right? You come back to these stories and hear them differently. It struck me that for most of us, it might not be our ego that gets in the way of our healing, but the enormity of our wounds and our sense that on our own we could never possibly heal from them, the sense that our problems are just too overwhelming and we need something much bigger than ourselves to swoop in and fix things. Have you ever felt that way before? I certainly have felt overwhelmed. Naaman's problem probably didn't start off as overwhelming. We talked a Bible study on Wednesday night about how Naaman had managed to hold on to his power and prestige despite this disease that usually outcasts the people affected with it, right? Folks were worried about catching it, and so lepers would have to live outside the town walls and were not allowed to participate in temple worship or in communal life. Yet Naaman is still generaling, he's still doing his thing, and so we surmise that either his case hadn't progressed very far yet, because leprosy develops quite slowly, or that his position, his power, had insulated him from it, from social ostracism, or maybe both. And yet this disease that wasn't curable at the time must have overshadowed Naaman's future, threatening to steal not just his health, but his power and his social standing and his wealth, his security. Against a threat that large, he must have expected some great intervention, some complicated and complex ritual requiring all the skill and concentration of this man of God that he's journeyed from afar to find. And instead he's told, and not even by Elisha himself, but by his servant, to go dunk himself in the River Jordan. That's it. It's laughably simple, right? But how many of us have been faced with an overwhelming problem, an addiction, a ragged relationship, a health crisis that requires substantial lifestyle changes, a soul-killing job, a trauma that has indelibly marked our lives? How many of us have faced something like that and hopelessly decided that only a miracle could fix things, that only a grand intervention by some higher power could possibly change our situation? A friend of mine has been in a rough season in their marriage for a while now, not because of betrayals or abuse, but because of clashing priorities and trouble communicating and schedules too full with kids and work for real connection. And the way things are going, it just doesn't seem like there is any way forward except perhaps to give up on the love part of their relationship and just kind of coexist as parents. Against this seemingly inevitable disintegration, their therapist has given the equivalent of Naaman's bath as homework, She's told them to spend 5 minutes a day with each other. Just 5 minutes. Now, they were too mad at each other after a fight to do it the first 3 days after they got this assignment. And the next 2 days, they just couldn't seem to find the time, because surely when the divide is this deep, 5 minutes can't make that much of a difference, can they? I've certainly thought that way before, from various times in my life, from a deep sense of loneliness at my first job out of college, to disordered eating that I struggled with for several years, to a more recent need for a regular spiritual practice. During several seasons in my life, I felt like there was no way out, at least no way out that was in my control. And so instead, I wished and prayed frequently for a friend from home to magically know that I was lying awake, miserable, in a small trailer on the Mississippi Gulf Coast at 3 a.m. and to call me up. I don't know why I thought that that would work or that would happen, but, or I would pray fervently to wake up one morning and magically have a healthy relationship with food, or most recently to somehow move to a convent where I would have time for real sustaining prayer, because what else do you do in a convent? Nothing. These were insurmountable problems, it seemed. No matter how I rearranged my schedule to get more prayer time, or when I realized that the sisters, the nuns across the street, a convent, were having prayer time. It was right when I had to get my kids out the door to school. No matter how I moved things around, it just didn't seem to work. And so, of course, any solution was going to be beyond my reach, something that only God could supernaturally bring about. But for each of these situations, it turned out that the solution was simple. Not easy, maybe, and not necessarily immediate, but simple. Call up an old friend instead of waiting for them to telepathically know how lonely I was. Go to one therapy appointment, and then the next one, and the next one. Or find a pre-formatted journal version of the spiritual practice that I love, but that usually I'd had someone guide me through, in person, and just fill out every question one night and then fill out every question the next night. And if I have to, even pretend that it's a wise old nun from a convent leading me through the exercise, even if I feel like I should be able to just do it on my own because I am a pastor, for Pete's sake, and shouldn't spiritual discipline be easy for me? I have news for you. It's not any easier for pastors than it is for you all. My problems really did feel unsolvable, and a simple solution really did seem inadequate, but I eventually figured out what Naaman did. That God may be the God of our big, miraculous moments, like the leper who is instantaneously healed in this morning's gospel reading, but God is also most definitely the God of our simple moments and our small openings. Maybe it's going to one AA meeting and then the next. Maybe it's taking your meds each day, even though you had hoped that you'd be able to get over your mental illness on your own. Maybe it's just taking a walk each day or eating one more vegetable at every meal. Maybe it's just 15 minutes each day. Seriously, that's all the experts say you need to connect with your child without distractions, no phones, and without nagging, just 15 minutes. Maybe it's spending 5 minutes in silence, or finding just the right journal, or the YouTube video, or worship song, or whatever you need for your spiritual practice. Honestly, most nights it takes me less than 5 minutes to fill out that journal, but that simple act does more to make me feel connected with God the next day than any convent service, and I don't even have to become a nun, which is nice. Nothing against nuns, but I think my husband and my kids would not appreciate that. Friends, let us not make the mistake that Naaman made, or at least let's not get stuck in thinking it's true. Healing may not be a simple process, but it is almost always built of simple actions strung together one after the other. Because God doesn't work only through grand and external interventions. God also probably mostly works through modest and intimate moments where we are willing to just take that next step, just dip our toe into the River Jordan. Because when we are willing to do the simple thing and to keep doing it, that is where God meets us, responding to our longing to be healed with all the tenderness in the world. I do choose. May it be so. Amen. Friends, as you go out into this world and into this week, know that there may be some things in your life that just need a very simple first step or simple next step. But that's all the opening that God needs to work God's way in there and work something great in your life. Go in peace.